Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Beth. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
So happy to have you back. So tell us what you've been up to.
Oh, well, so we last spoke when The Road Trip was coming out, I think, so about a year ago, and it has been a big year. You know, wrote my most ambitious book yet, The No Show, which is coming soon. Had a baby. That was a big one as well. So, it's been quite the adventure this year.
I didn't know what you can talk about after The Road Trip, because The Road Trip was like so complex the way it was like two points of view, past, present, but at the same time there were never the way you put it is one point of view, it returns one point of view, like, and they're all like in different timelines. So it was a pretty ambitious book, and so I did not know what to expect for The No Show, and then when I saw it, it's like three points of view, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is like, and they're multiple timelines, like this is, you're taking things to the next level, you know, to the this.
I think I always want to challenge myself when I'm writing. I think those are the ideas that excite me, or ones where I'm like, oh, I've never done that before. And I actually think that, you know, writing, because the Road Trip is, as you say, two points of view, but also across like now and then. So I was sort of writing, almost felt like four points of view, because it was like Addie and Dylan then and Addie and Dylan now. And it was a real like challenge. And it kind of, I think, made me feel a bit more ambitious with writing something plottier and that kind of definitely still very much a romance and a comedy at its heart, but where I was sort of playing around a bit more with mystery and just sort of, I don't know, like, trying something new. But yeah, The No Show was, I mean, it's a huge book. Like the concept is that three women are all stood up on the worst day to be stood up, Valentine's Day. And it transpires that they've all been stood up by the same guy. And so it's almost like, it is very much one novel, but it's almost like three novellas, because it's three women. And it was actually really helpful for me to think of it that way, because I could think like, actually, I want each of these women to kind of deserve their own book. Like I don't want them to be like a third of a book. I want their story to have its own story arc, and, you know, for them to have their own growth and their own romance, and for those things to all intertwine. But there are so many characters. And I love that, because I love writing a secondary character. They're always my favorites. I don't know why, they're just easier than main characters. They're like, there's less pressure with like a secondary character, and you can just sort of, you know, you don't have to know them inside out. You can just know them in the way that you might know like a friend, instead of how you know yourself. And I think I'm so proud of it. I'm really proud of The No Show.
I can tell you, I was like, I felt at the beginning, I was like, usually when I read multiple points of view and multiple stories, I root for one character, but this one I was rooting for all three of them, and I wanted to like figure out like what was happening. Like it was like nice to be like, okay, we got this story, and you leave it in a cliffhanger, and then you just like go to jump another story, and I'm like, and then I forget, and I'm like, oh, I want to know what happened to so-and-so. Like, did something happen? Like, did we get the cliffhanger? Was it resolved? And it was like, it was a really engaging book that just kept getting the pages turned. Like, you just want to know what happens next, you know?
Yeah, I think character's always so important in my novels, and I'm very, like, character-led. I tend to sort of, like, for instance, if it comes to, like, a plot point and it's not feeling right for the character, then the character kind of always wins for me. But with this book, like, because there was sort of so much plot, I had to kind of map it out and couldn't be as sort of character led at first. So it's really wonderful to hear that you really sort of connected with all three women, because a huge part of the redrafting process for me was that was the time when I could do what I love to do, which is just sink into someone else's world and figure out who these women are. And I wanted all three of them, like I say, to deserve their own book, you know, like I wanted us to kind of love Jane and Siobhan and Miranda and like, you know, to sort of not be kind of rooting for one over another. I wanted that sense of like, we love all these women and we're kind of like, we're on all of their sides.
Yeah. And so each one of them was unique enough. And so how do you plot it out, each character, to get their own voice? Do they get their own careers, their own friends, their own world? Because it was like three mini worlds. So you just built on it. And so they were very different. Like he didn't pick one sort of stereotype. They're very different characters, each one of them. And the relationships are very different from each other too.
Totally. I found probably people won't even notice this, but the novel's written in third person instead of first. And I usually use first, and this is a bit of a like boring technical thing, but for me, it was huge because even though like, I think as a reader, like, I don't know how much I really notice whether something's in third or first person, but it was a real change for my writing. And I worried that it would make the characters like, it would be harder for me to get into the character because I wasn't writing from their point of view, but actually I really loved what it gave me. So like, for instance, you could kind of say like in the first page that it says like Siobhan's only vegan when she's in a good mood. And like, that is something Siobhan would probably not say about herself, but because I was in third person, I could give you that little insight into her. Yeah. So I had a lot of fun with that for me as like a new way to flesh out a character where I could actually tell you little somethings that maybe wouldn't be in their head, but that I could give you. So that was really interesting for character of these ones. So Miranda is a tree surgeon, which is a very unusual job for a woman to have. And that, like, she actually came to me really late. I wrote her completely differently for about 15,000 words and then had that awful stomach drop feeling where I was like, something in this novel is wrong and I don't know what it is. And at that point I always panic and think it's the whole thing. And then usually I go for lots of dog walks and have a lot of baths and then figure it out. And I thought, I'm just not sure I've got Miranda right. And I've never really done this before, but I thought of her job first. Cause I have a friend who's a tree surgeon and he has like such amazing stories about work. And I was kind of like, what if she did that? And once I got her job, like, she just suddenly came to life, like her sort of sunniness and her adventure. And she's very outdoorsy and kind of, I was like, oh, she's there. Like she's come to me. But yeah, that was a fun one to write. And obviously my friend was a huge help with those details. He actually took me up a tree. So for research, the things you do as an author, like weird author day, climbed a tree.
I was wondering, I was like, first of all, I did not know that there was tree surgeons. Like that's something I did not know. And then I was like the climbing, the putting it all together and the questioning. And I was like, the amount of research that we have taken just to figure out this whole profession, you know, out was like mind-boggling. So I'm glad you were like to shed light how this career came about. So
oh well, I'm glad it showed.
Yeah. So this book comes out this summer. So like anything else, like what are you working next?
So I have I'm in really early stages with the next book. And I'm definitely at the stage where everything is under wraps for like my own superstitious reasons. Yeah. I'm very like, I don't like sharing a book with anybody super early. Cause I find like, I found from experience that if I do, like sometimes people, even just the tiniest thing in their reaction will like send me spinning. Like early on, like when a project's really new and fragile, like someone only needs to say like, that sounds great in like the wrong tone of voice and I'm gone, like the book's dead. So I've learned to sit on it, but yeah. And I've been kind of obviously juggling writing with my little one. So, you know, I've been writing on my phone, which is new for me because like early on feeding with, you only ever have one hand or like, and you've always got your phone there. So I got, I just thought I'd give it a try. And actually, I really love it. Really, like, at that point, it really took the pressure off writing, because it was like, it's almost just like messaging someone. Like, I was just, you know, like writing a few lines in a Google Doc.
Yeah,
it was like it, kind of going back to sort of finding time for writing in little bursts in my wider life, which, like, that's how I wrote the flat share. I wrote that when whilst working full time, in like in, on my train journeys. And then obviously the switch and the road trip I wrote as like a full time author with so much time to write and think and everything. And now I kind of feel like I'm somewhere in between those two places.
Yeah, you're finding your groove. I think in some ways totally. Like your life change. And so now, like, you're basically like making time where you can and calling it in and like writing on your phone or writing here or writing along here or writing. And it's like, it's a Frankenstein novel that's going to come together, you know.
Totally. That's the hope in the
right time, you know.
Yeah, I think it may just take a little longer, but I think I'll get there.
Yeah, so, well, I'm excited you're an Audible author. So whatever you write.
Oh, the ultimate compliment. Thank you.
Yeah. Whatever you write, like if you write the phone book, which they no longer exist, I'll buy it.
Love it.
So, all right. So let's have some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah, I was actually just thinking before this, because I know from last time that you asked me for book recommendations. This is what happens when you're a regular. I was thinking about like some debuts that I've loved, and which are either coming out soon or are out now. There's a book called Yinka, Where Is My Husband? By Lizzie Damilola Blackburn. Oh yeah, it's on your radar. So good. Like, Lizzie's such an amazing writer. Like, her writing just sort of like, I don't know, it's just like sparks off the page. Like, you almost feel like you're watching it rather than reading it. Like, it's so vivid. And the characters are so likable. You really root for Yinka. She's, and also like, Lizzie's not afraid to take Yinka to a place where she's, you know, like, that could be frustrating for the reader. And I think that's brave to do, because I think like, it's hard to push your character into being less sort of like, I don't know, you don't want to find fault with them sometimes as a writer, I think. And she really, and the book so benefits from it. And like, you really feel her, like, her journey more because of that. And I think, yeah, it's a fantastic book. Other debuts that I've loved recently, one I read that completely like blindsided me, is called These Impossible Things by Salma El Wadani. And it's about three British Muslim women and their kind of timeless friendship as they sort of navigate like love and work and life. And it's quite literary, like, for my taste. Like, normally I prefer something a bit lighter, but it was so good that, you know, when you're like reading the same lines over and over, because you're like, oh my God, like, that's just so true. Or that's just says something that I've never been able to articulate, or that's so new to me. And like, you know, it was just, it's such beautiful writing, basically. And female friendship is such a powerful thing. And I think it's the best book on female friendship I've maybe ever read. Like, it's, it really just captures it. So everybody read that. That's amazing. And what else have I enjoyed that's a debut recently? Oh yeah. Nora Goes Off Script. Is this on your radar?
I just got the arc. So tell me all about it.
Oh yeah. This one, I was really didn't know what to expect. I went in occasionally, like, cause I am in the incredibly privileged position of getting sent early copies of books. And if I get them digitally, I tend to like, they get separated from the author, from the letter, from the editor, and they just sort of get moved to my Kindle. And then it's kind of nice because I open them up with really none of the like expectations. I don't even have the cover. I don't like know what I'm going into at all.
Yeah.
And I didn't know it was a debut, and you cannot, like, I wouldn't believe it was. It's so like so slick and well written. But it's by Annabelle Monaghan, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And it's such a fun, smart rom-com. Like, the protagonist, I mean, it's a great setup. The main character is writing a script and has written like a script about, sort of based on the breakup of her marriage. And then they come and film it like at her house, and the guy playing her ex-husband is a very dashing actor. I mean, what a setup. So good. But it's also like, it's a really thoughtful novel. Like it's very, and I maybe more like as a writer myself, I loved that the main character was a writer and the way she saw the world was really formed by that. And yeah, it just, it also, the woman who's the main character has two kids who are kind of, I think they're about 6 and 10 or something, which I don't know, you don't see that much in romance. And I really enjoyed it. Like they were so well written, the kids, and like how much of a part they played in the plot, like I really loved. And so, yeah, it just like, I just sank into it. And I was reading it in the evenings and I'd really like, you know, when you open up the app to read and you're like, ah, like that's how it felt. Like it was like, you know, settling down with a cup of tea. That's how it felt. It's a great read. I hope you'll enjoy it.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited. Yeah, I just got it this week. So it was like, it was a total cover. I didn't read the synopsis. The cover looks pretty. And I was like, oh, it sounds cute. You know, so now that you tell me, you know, what it is about, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like on my wheelhouse. I have a thing about books about Hollywood. I have a thing about books about writers. Like, it just give me both of them.
Oh, oh my God. This is ticking all your boxes.
Yeah. So yes, you just had me at that. So tell us where you can find you online.
Yes, so I am on Instagram. I'm Beth O'Leary, author, and I am on Facebook as well, the same. And my website's BethO'LearyAuthor.com.
Thank you, Beth, for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.